You're tuned into the Lawn and Garden Hour of the Rosie on the House Show. Get expert advice on any plant, irrigation, or landscape question you have by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Marshall Tucker. Oh, that sounds good. Nice. Welcome back to In the Garden with Rosie on the House. Finishing Bud's question on how to transplant mesquite volunteers he's got in his yard. We were talking to him, and he was talking about taking a bucket and mixing the native soil and a little potting soil and putting it in there. Don't forget to drill holes in the bottom of that bucket so it will drain while they're living in the bucket. And then he wanted to cut the bottom of the bucket out and then remove the sides. Now, I got a lot easier way, bud. Here it is. Listen, you wait until your favorite football game is getting ready to start. You get in your easy chair, bring your kid over beside the chair and say, hey, see all the mesquite weeds in the front yard? I want you to pick them up, and I've put little flags out in the front yard. That's where I want them all transplanted. If you do it where they're young enough and they dig deep enough, because he'll be surprised when he starts digging down that little 12, 18-inch sprout, that root is about 12 or 18 inches deep. Don't just go down there 4 or 5 inches and cut it, because you're really going to be hitting the main root. And you got to dig and dig and dig. Get down to the bottom of that root, pick it up, and just put it right back in the ground where you want it and pour the water to it, and mesquites grow like weeds. In Texas, they are weeds.
Yeah.
In Arizona, we make them into trees. So that's the way I did it. I started my favorite football game, told the kids that's where I wanted them, and
now you have a lot of mesquites growing.
An hour later, they were all done. We poured water to them for a couple of years, and now we've got a front yard just full of beautiful volunteer mesquites that are 25, 30 feet tall.
Don't put the nurseries out of business.
There's Rosie's plan. Man, we've got calls from Tucson, Mesa, Ashfork, Avondale. Romy, where are you going to take this show next? We're all over the place.
We'll go up to Hugh in Ashfork, who's listening on 930 KAFF, Calf Country out of Flagstaff. Hugh, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
We'd like to know, we're letting our horse move on to greener pastures, and his area down there, he's been using it for quite a while, and I was wondering, is there any fertilizer nutritional that you can use if I were to turn that and try and plant a garden down there?
Probably I would compost it first, so you'd scrape it all to one side where you can pile it up and keep it moist and let it break down for at least 6 months or a year before you go back and put little bits of it on top of vegetable gardens or around trees. They use it like that instead of turning it in. And after you get all that scraped off, I would do a lot of leaching to make sure that the salts are out of that soil before you start using it, which just means filling it up with water and letting it drain, filling it up with water and letting it drain. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you kindly.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call and the experience I've had when we were planting some trees in an area an old horse pen had been, and it was compacted a good 8 inches we had to pick through to get down to the soil. So we had to do a lot of extra excavating.
Yeah.
You really did. So make sure you're getting all the way to the bottom of where that buildup and impact is. And good luck. Thanks for the call from Ashfork. Swinging back down to Tucson, Stuart's called in, wants to talk about fruit trees. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good morning.
Great. Good morning. Hey, I have about 4.5 acres, and I just started clearing it. It's got just desert brush on it, and I'm planting fruit trees. I've got 8 trees in the ground, but my concern is I don't know if there's any such thing as putting wrong trees with wrong trees, and also what trees can't I grow or shouldn't I grow out here? I like every fruit you could think of. And so I just kind of wanted just your opinion on what to stay away from and maybe what not to plant next to each other.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
But you know what? We need to know more about where he is in Tucson, because even saying in Tucson, you can be an elevation difference of 1,000 or 1,500 feet. Where are you, Stuart?
I'm over in southeast Tucson. It's actually Corona to Tucson. And my elevation is somewhere in the 2,500 foot elevation.
Okay, that makes a difference.
Okay, yeah, fruit tree. I love fruit trees. What I do too. So, I don't think you can plant one tree wrong with another tree. What you can do is plant trees that aren't made for our climate. So you stay away from Truly tropical trees, you know, avocados, mangoes, they tend to need a whole lot of baby in here from the cold and the heat. And if you go the other way, cold climate fruits, which would be things that grow at way higher elevation, like peaches and plums and apples and pears, all that, they're capable of growing here, but they need a little more baby in the summer heat. And probably they won't look great by the end of summer, but they'd usually, if you buy the right varieties that are for our climate, which means they don't need a whole lot of chill in the winter, they can provide fruit, though, flowers and fruit in the spring before the summer starts to beat them up.
And define chill hours real quick.
Chill hours is the amount of time they need of cold during the winter. And for our, up here in Phoenix, we usually go for 300 or less. I'd imagine you get a little more in Tucson, 400. I wouldn't go over 500, though, or else some years when it's real mild, you won't get fruit on those types of trees. So what you want to stick with is subtropical fruit, and the figs and pomegranates are what the missionaries brought here that did great from the beginning. It's trees that don't mind the heat and don't mind the cold. It's the easiest way to go.
You know, Stuart, in my experience being in Arizona for 50 years, I have found in Pima County there are a lot more nuts than there are fruits. And is that true?
Pistachios, you mean?
That's Cochise County and Pima County. That is. It's pistachio. It's pecan. It really is more of a nut climate, isn't it?
Yeah, pecans make a big, nice tree.
Oh, man, they make a gorgeous tree. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I know pecans you don't really have to worry about. I don't believe almonds either. But with pistachio, you do have to have a male and a female tree to pollinate.
You do, yeah. Male and female, and a lot of chill hours for that pistachio.
Now, that takes a lot of splaining, and that's for another show.
And you do need an adequate amount of water when you're doing fruit trees, too. So just, Stuart, make sure you've got a good irrigation system for those trees, too.
And if you're talking southeast Tucson, the closest is Savano Nursery. And, Jonathan, I know y'all sell some of Savano's plants up here.
Yeah, we do. Great. Yeah, we grow really good product down there.
So there you go, Stuart. Enjoy the planting of your 4 acres as we stay in Tucson with Peggy, who wants to talk about her ash tree. Welcome to the program, ma'am.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. My problem is I have an old Fantex ash, and I've just been watering it every week for a long, long time. But I heard you talking that now that it's cooler weather, should I not water it that often?
Until the leaves fall off, I'd stick with the same schedule. Ash do need a lot of water their whole lives. The bigger they get, the more gallons of water they need when you water them. This summer was a rough one on most ash trees that I've seen around with a lot of leaf burn. So I'd just keep giving it the once a week until the leaves fall off, and then I'd go to once every 3 weeks, maybe once a month, while the tree is completely bald and doesn't need the water as much. Until they sprout out again in the spring and March, and then start that once a week once all over again.
Thank you for the call. We're going to move to Jane in Avondale at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we continue making our way around the state with your landscape and gardening questions. Jane, welcome.
Hi, Rosie. Thank you for having me on the show. I have a question. I have two Chinese elm trees. They're about 3.5 years old, and we have never trimmed them. And the bottom, maybe 3 feet off the ground, 2.5, 3 feet off the ground, are bushy. And then the tops have grown really, long shoots, and they kind of hang down. And they're not really getting a whole lot taller. They're just getting, these really, really long shoots above that kind of hang down. And I just don't know how much to trim on the bottom, around, or what to really do with these trees. They're my first two Chinese elm trees, and I really don't know how to care for them.
What can we help her with?
The hanging branches that come from the top and dangle down, those are pretty much always okay to cut up to a level where you can work under the tree and walk under it. What you don't want to do with trimming a tree is let a whole bunch of sunlight come in to parts of the branches that weren't used to the sun. But those hanging branches don't do much for shading the tree. It's that you can get them out of your way. As far as the branches that come out of the trunk, you can trim them off. Just again, be careful that you're not exposing that trunk skin to a lot of sun that it's not used to. So now is probably a good time of year to do it. It's cooling off. Make sure it's getting well watered, and you can trim both of those things off. There's not much you can do about the growth of the height, except for just wait, take care of that tree good, and good water and some fertilizer in the spring, and then trim a little bit where you need to.
And Jane, my philosophy, I think you're doing the best thing you can. For newly planted trees, I love to see people leave them alone for the first 2 to 3 years and just let the tree, what you're doing is you're letting the trunk get fed by all those low branches. And so while you're not getting a lot of height, I bet your trunk is getting really strong. And now you can start slowly picking up those lower branches just slightly, you know, just a little over time, and eventually raise the crown. But this way you are shading the trunk, the roots. It helps protect the tree from the hot sun. And as long as it's healthy, I think you're doing great.
And when we're talking about new trees, staking, we've got to be careful not to overstake it.
Absolutely. Stake maybe the first year. Pull those stakes off just as soon as you can, because you want them.
Yeah, only if needed, first of all. If a tree stands up on its own, let it.
Yes.
Multi-trunk trees, never need them. If the tree's standing up on its own, it's better to leave it that way. If it falls over, you need to do the double staking, and only temporarily until that trunk gets strong enough to hold itself up.
Trees like to move and get exercise, just like we do, and they get stronger with the movement. So, yeah.
That wind blowing it, that's their workout.
Yeah.
So when you see a tree staked so tight, you know
that one can't move at all, it's not good.
That one will be falling down next wind. What else can we learn from water? Use it wisely.
Well, we do talk a lot about all kinds of things that you can do to save water outdoors as well as indoors as well. But one of the reasons why we do focus so much on the landscape is that we have found that, you know, on average about 50% of water is used outdoors here. But we'll see those numbers climb easily up to about 70% in the summertime, and especially if people have very lush landscapes and a lot of, you know, swimming pools and things like that. So we really want people to focus a lot on outdoors, because it is an area where we need to pay a little more attention and take care of that water use ourselves. You know, a lot of what we're doing indoors now with, we have things like high-efficiency toilets now. We've got our dishwashers and washing machines are using much less water. And so those things are done without us even having to think about it. But outdoors and how we water and our landscapes and how we're using the water outdoors is something that we do need to still kind of be very thoughtful about.
And the website?
WaterUseItWisely.com. And you can find all kinds of information. We also have some fun things on there. We have a section for kids. We have some really fun games that are also very educational. And we have educational resources for teachers and things like that as well that are really good activities and things like that for kids.
And if you missed it earlier, when we come back, we'll be talking about how you can win $500 to a local nursery at WaterUseItWisely.com.
Photo contest.
Right after.